Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Is it time to have a dirge for the U.S. Constitution? Is it time to have a funeral procession for the Declaration of Independence? I took this quote down off the internet, and I hear Mike Savage from time to time. He uses it, he reads it. So it's been a while since he read it to his listeners, and I figure I'll give you a reminder. This is a quote entitled "The Enemy Within" by Marcus Atilius Cicero, who was born on January the 3rd, 106 B.C., and he was murdered on December the 7th of 43 B.C. Isn't that what a coincidence? He died on Pearl Harbor Day. And did you know that Newsweek has on the cover of one of their magazines, in honor of Pearl Harbor, in the Japanese issue, entirely in Japanese language, they show two American flags stuck in a garbage can? How's that? That's Newsweek. You know who Newsweek is, right? That's a W-E-A-K. They're part of the communist media. They make Pravda look like L'Observatore Romano. Yeah, they got writers like Maureen Dude, and they're supported by the leg man of the Democrat Party, Chris Matthews Rasmanjani, who I understand is losing his marbles. I wonder where that saying comes from, losing your marbles. You got to check that one out. But here's what Marcus Atilius Cicero said back in the good old days. Remember, the title is "The Enemy Within." A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious. God knows we got plenty of those right here. But it cannot survive treason from within. God knows we got plenty of those here too. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. The Arabs have a saying, a wise enemy is better than an ignorant friend. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He doesn't go to church on Sunday. He works secretly. He bows to sordid princes. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. So, go back to the ancient Romans and they'll tell you. And what is the saying that Georges Santayana always says? those who do not understand history are doomed to repeat it. The lessons of history. Those who do not comprehend the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. So, I say, you want your country back? You know, you lost your country. This is the first nation that ever lost its own country. You want it back? It's going to cost you. You can pay now, or you can bury your children. You may not. Your children may not live to curse your name for selling them out. Don't worry about going broke. You're not going to live that long. Our enemies get stronger by the millisecond. They're here. They're there. They're everywhere. The Scarlet Pimpernels of Al-Qaeda are here in the United States, and we're feeding the germ. Osama bin Laden, he is still alive, has taught the world that America can't defend itself anymore. Wait till you see who comes in for the kill. Hillary did great in Russia, if you're KGB. Did you see her sitting there? What a pathetic sight. What a pathetic sight. Sitting at the table, she was the only woman. They were all Russian men from both sides, from the United States and from the Soviet Union, a.k.a. KGB headquarters. Yeah, don't worry about global warming. You got real problems, and I got two pictures of two nukes going off. And you know what George Washington said? And we all forgot it. In times of peace, prepare for war. And we're not doing that. We are Pearl Harbor material once again. We are so wide open. We're not even laying down face up. We're face down, pants down. To allow the KGB to come into the United States and catalog our arsenal of democracy. This is worse than turning the other cheek. This is spreading both of them. We are crazy. We are absolutely... Your children are going to curse... If they live, they're going to curse your name. If they live. And if you don't think your children can't die before you, you know what you do? Just go back to 2001. Go back to 1993, when Al-Qaeda tried the first time to take down the World Trade Towers, and the Clintons glossed it over and made fun of the Arabs as dumb. And then they came back and they finished the job. And they'll come again. And we're going to let them come. We're all on our knees, steeped in pilot blood at the cockpit door right now, and we don't even know it. I want you to listen to the words of this Irish song. The name of the song is The West's Awake. And the reason for the song is that Ireland was not allowed to discuss its history under British subjugation. So what they did is they hid their history in songs, and they sang them from generation to generation. And what this song is about is that the west of Ireland was asleep, while the rest of Ireland was being destroyed. And finally, when the west of Ireland awoke to the threat, it was too late, because the country was disunited and not strong enough to fight as one. And right now, the United States is split down the middle. As a matter of fact, you got 53 to 47, and somewhere in that 47, we got to come up with 25% of warriors who can defend this country and protect it from both enemies, foreign and domestic. And today in the public school system, your kids don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and eventually nobody will be saying the Pledge of Allegiance. First they got rid of the cross, and now they're going to get rid of the flag. And you don't think it's happening, and that's why the West is asleep. So you listen to the words of this song, because it's a lamentation. And may it not be your funeral dirge. And the Irish never got their country back. And when the British took it over, they burned their churches, they struck their national flag, they destroyed their cultural language. They were forbidden to talk Gaelic. If you see the wind that shakes the barley, when the black and tans come into a little farm town, they beat an Irishman to death because he wouldn't answer them in English. And don't think that can't happen here. And if you don't believe me, just ask that honor student in Illinois who got caught between two factions and was bashed to death with a railroad tie. And they showed that just before they awarded the Olympics, not to Chicago. And the Irish didn't get their country back until the 1900s, and they only got 26 counties. They were never reunited. And now they're part of liberal Europe, a socialist Europe. And beware of people who tell us that they're doing things better in Europe. Because that's somebody who hates this country and hates you too. Sing out that they died their land to save. 40,000 Americans are are abandoned in Afghanistan tonight while the President of the United States does a con job on the gay community. You think about that. You think about Language Boy, who's sitting, he's deliberating. He's deliberating while men die. How's that? You know what? Did you ever see the movie Attack with Jack Palance and the lieutenant that got all his men killed? That's Osama bin Laden, Obama bin Laden. He's the same languishing coward. Never served his country, he's got no skin in the game, and both black and white will die in Afghanistan because of him. And he's going to deliberate. And I'll never forget when he said, they asked him, how are you going to run this this offensive, when he was a candidate for the presidency. And he said, when I'm with my troops, when I'm with my generals, not when I'm with my troops, because he'll never be with his troops. You won't see his plane circling around Afghanistan for a landing. But you'll see him in Norway getting the Vilkun Quisling Award. You know who Vilkun Quisling was? He's the epitome of the Nobel Peace Prize. Him and what was the other guy's name? Neville Chamberlain in England. Vilkun Quisling, he paved the way for the Nazi takeover of Norway. He put his people in the right positions. He was surrounded by pro-Nazi sympathizers. And when the time was right and Hitler gave him the high sign, he opened the doors. Just like Hillary Clinton has opened the doors for the KGB to come in and count our missiles. You got to be kidding me. You got to be... You know what? You might as well take a pistol and stick it in your mouth and pull the trigger. Because that's what you're doing when you open this country up to invasion. We've got invasion coming from all different sides. We're in trouble. You have no idea how much trouble you're in. How are you going to carry all that gold out of the country when you have to flee? We'll see how many mayors and governors want three terms when the fit hits the Jan. Did I tell you the story that somebody told me once about Patton negotiating with the Russians? Patton was on the outskirts of Berlin. He was 46 miles from Berlin. He was ordered to halt because the politicians wanted the Russians to take Berlin. And they waited 4.5 months for the Russians to get there. So after the Russians went in and raped Berlin, and if you wanna do some research, you read about the rape of Berlin by the Russian army. They had women nailed to barn doors, and rape was like college date rape. But anyway. That's because women don't count in America. They scale down the crime. But anyway, so Patton is in his headquarters, and this is after the Russians are now getting a little cocky. And his army is on the Elbe River, and across the river is the Russian army. And a Russian colonel storms into Patton's office, and he tells Patton that all the boats that are docked on the American side of the Elbe River belong to the Russians. And Patton looks at him and says, who let this man in here? And everybody's hemming and hawing. He reaches in his desk and he pulls out his .45. He slams it down on the desk, he picks up the phone, and he says, activate the 4th Armored Division. Alert the 4th Armored Division. We're going to attack the Russians. And this colonel, he did one big bow movement. And he turned ashen white and he beat it out of there. Now that's how you negotiate with Russians. Think about that. When you look at Hillary sitting there like a mannequin on a chair, surrounded by the people that know how to divide countries up for booty. The damage that this administration is going to do in the world is going to be greater than we can repair in one lifetime.
Hi, you boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet, and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on, we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though. And it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker, and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come, the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 911, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys.
What do you think Patton would say if you told him you were going to let the Russians come in and check out your nuclear arsenal? You know what he would do? He'd put a bullet right in your head. What was the body count for the Civil War? 560,000? 560,000 Americans died so that we could stay united. And the Democrats come in and drove a wedge into this country over 40 years. And they have destroyed it. They have divided. This country is now split right down the middle. So, they spit in Lincoln's face. Now they're running around arresting Cub Scouts for bringing utensils to school. Now their little commissars have taken over co-ops and asked that the flag be removed. Little Hitlers are springing up all over the country. It's only a matter of weeks before we have neighborhood watch groups that will report back to Washington, D.C. on their neighbors. And taxation is a form of slavery. And the government can't find enough ways to tax more from you. I hear there's an MTA tax now, and it's just beginning. All kinds of taxes. They're dreaming of different ways to fleece you. They want you poor. They want you dependent. They want you on a welfare line. You'll be going in a motor vehicle to get a blood transfusion. Saltwater fishing used to be free, and now everybody has to pay. All of a sudden, you see, when you give a junkie one shot of tax money, he needs more. His Jones gets bigger and bigger. You don't think there are advisors to Obama or Bin Laden that are saying, look, don't send any more troops to Afghanistan. Let them take a big hit. We'll lose 10,000, but that'll put an end to the war. And that's not too much to lose. And we'll pull out of there. Let us lose 10,000. You don't think there's anybody thinking like that? A House and a Senate where 48 senators voted to burn the flag, and two are from Delaware, two are from New York, two are from Connecticut, and two are from Massachusetts. You don't think there's anybody out there that wishes us ill for the greater honor and glory of Stavros of Switzerland? The guy gets the Nobel Peace Prize. He goes to Copenhagen to play basketball. But he can't get around the ammo to a guy sitting up on a mountaintop in the Hindu Kush. He's going to deliberate for 2 weeks. Aren't you glad he didn't go for help during World War II? Hillary Clinton looked lost and pathetic. She's an embarrassment. And they used to tear Condoleezza Rice down into hell. They were on her back constantly, but they let this lemon walk into the Russian bear's cave and sit there and be torn to pieces, and they put a clean face on her. The only thing she didn't do was sing the International. How would you like to be a Pole or a Czech knowing that the United States sold you out? How's that? And then you're going to watch these American politicians stand up and talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution without the First and Second Amendments. She should be right at home with the Russian mafia. She takes Vignali drug money, and doesn't send it all back when she's caught. Oh, that wasn't her. That was her brother. Wasn't he just a bag man though? They can't sell this country out fast enough. you talk about being downtrodden, you're going to be stomped into the ground. And the good news is the stock market broke 10,000. Yippee. It's not going to matter. You're not going to have a country. You only got a skeleton crew defending us now. You think you're going to be able to muster? You're going to be able to learn how to fire a weapon in time? Well, we're not, it's not going to be that kind of war. How do you know what kind of war it's going to be? Did you see two planes coming into New York City that day? You had no idea what was going on. Nobody could guarantee our safety. Nobody knew if Saddam had nukes. Nobody. Not nobody. The only one that knew we didn't have nukes was Saddam. And he didn't know we didn't have them. Yeah. But Bush got us into a war. Bush stopped us from bleeding. And now we're going to bleed openly. We're all going to be paraplegics. The slogan in Washington today is, any country but mine. We take you now to the funeral of the United States of America. The country fell and never recovered. And it is now being buried alongside the grave of Abraham Lincoln. And the music that you're listening to is the music that was played at the President Lincoln's funeral. And it's been a very solemn day because the President who died in the United States is now laying beside the country that once again provided. The door was left open, and our enemies came in and destroyed us. Our enemies were the people who hate religion, the people who hate God, the people who hate country, the people who hate independence. They all came in and fell on the bones of the American slaves. Pack slaves and destroyed the United States. Drugs and pack slaves. The country fell apart. Its army was abandoned in Afghanistan and left to die. And now, the new Soviet Union is occupying and protecting the land without long resistance.
Russell Feinberg, Diane Feinstein, Graham.
Ohio, Hemingway from Hawaii, Jeffords from Vermont, Kennedy from Massachusetts, Getty from Massachusetts, Cole from Wisconsin, Lautenberg from New Jersey, Levin and Carlos Jekyll, Levin from Michigan, Lieberman, Joe Lieberman, yes, he's a moderate. And now, yes, and Milkulski from Maryland, Comrade Milkulski, Murray from Washington, Nelson, they call him Banzai Bill for stabbing the children with the bayonet, Reed from Rhode Island, Rockefeller from West Virginia, Paul Sarbanes from Maryland, Chuck Schumer, who is fondly known as Heinrich Schumer, Olympia Snow from Maine, Debbie Stabum, now, how appropriate that name, huh? Ron Wyden from Oregon, Stabum now is from the Islamic State of Michigan, the one that's going broke very quickly. And we had two who didn't vote, and that was Edwards, because he was making babies, and Hutchinson, who they did not vote. So there you have it, comrades, the heroes of the Soviet Union. How many times do I have to tell you? You can't tell the players without a scorecard. You got to keep track of how these people hurt you. Those are 34 senators who vote to kill kids. And Baucus and Olympia Snowjob were two of the 34. What chances does a senior citizen have when these people won't even give a kid a break? What chances do you think you have? Huh? Yeah. You're in trouble, man. I'm in trouble. At least I know it. You won't know it until they pull the feeding tube. Oh, I think there are two that are gone on that list, that are no longer on that list. I know one is Kennedy, and he's buried in the Kremlin wall.
Hang in there, boys, we'll give you some music. We got 17 minutes left.
Thank you.
was watching a comedy show, Richard Jenny, last night. I've watched it about three or four times. I'll soon know the whole routine by heart. How sad that here was a guy who was entertaining people, making people laugh. And, I mean, they were laughing hysterically. And here he was torn up inside. You talk about the Phantom of the Opera. This guy was the Phantom of Comedy. How sad. How absolutely sad. And during his dissertation, he says that he used to be a Catholic, but he's not that. And he did it. He said it in a nice way, not like I'm going to get even, you know. But he said it to let people know that he's a fallen away Catholic. But, you know, I got to tell you, and flipping channels, there's Anna Nicole Smith, and she's gone, right? Now, these people, they turn to everybody but to God. And God was the only one that could help them. Why is it that these people are so sophisticated, so intelligent, but when they have a psychological problem, they turn to everybody but God. You know, as a last resort, when all else fails, you give it a shot instead of taking the shot. So let me lighten up the. I miss Richard Jenny. He was good. He was talented. How sad. And so let me lighten up a little bit.
Forgive me if my hungry eyes feast on the banquet of your sumptuous décolletage.
That's a little Christopher Walken. I liked him too when he did the Continental on Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is not doing too good lately. So it's not like Second City Television when they had some real talent. I loved Second City Television. Hey, we'll give you the religion of America today.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean. Suddenly a voice said, go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen. And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life.
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in your feet. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
Gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge.
Blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a quest and operation down below. With a fire pipe a-blowing while the muscatel was flowing, all the cats were go-go going down below. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a quest and operation down below.
Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy.
Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Swim, swim, swim to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
Do it. rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. With a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in your feet.
You know, champagne is not champagne unless it comes from the province of Champagne. I learned that in bartending school.
There's a tribute to the troops in Afghanistan. It's going to get cold there soon. And I just hope it doesn't turn out to be our Stalingrad. Oh man, I don't even want to think about it. This is for the troops that are up there. Keep making sure we don't die in our beds.
Look homeward, angel, tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel, find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? Know, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her?
Get a Grammy Award.
Answer me, Lord above. Just what sin have I been guilty of? Tell me how I came to lose my love. Please answer me, oh Lord. She was mine yesterday. I believe that love was here to stay. Won't you tell me where I've gone astray? Please answer me, oh Lord. If she's happier without me, don't tell her I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord. I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me.